You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Today we are going to be talking about all of the factors that I believe, many other people believe, are going to lead to some major civil unrest. When thinking about the title of this video, I wanted to differentiate that I believe that the civil unrest is going to get worse, because there already is major civil unrest, the likes of which this country hasn't seen in quite some time, perhaps since the 60s and 70s and all the anti-war protests and free speech movement, all that stuff. And we have not only just one factor or one circumstance or one historical phenomenon, we have a multitude that I believe are going to create a perfect storm for some major, major civil unrest. And I'm not just talking about further in the future. I'm talking about coming up pretty hot here, as in now, and it's going to accelerate immensely, especially with the election going on. So we're going to break all that down and give you some analysis and some deeper level analysis of all the things going on right now. And more importantly, we are going to offer some strategies and tips that you, your family, or your crew, and your community as well can utilize in order to make sure that when the shit hits the fan, because it's not a question of if, but when, and in fact, the shit is hitting the fan all over, you will be able to weather the storm and not suffer immensely. So, yeah. And first, I want to shout out Dr. Ron Paul. He is someone that was responsible for bringing a lot of people into the modern liberty movement. And it appears today he's having some health issues. It appears like it was a stroke during a live stream. The dude's like 85 years old. And even after the Ron Paul for President campaign in 2008 and 2012, he's still going with the Ron Paul Liberty Report. So that did happen. However, he's tweeted or shared some pictures from the hospital. He went to the hospital and he appears to be doing okay. So I just wanted to shout that out real quick. I'm going to invite you to follow along our podcast at livefreenow.show, livefreenow.show. We broadcast live, which is my favorite way to produce the content. We're going to be taking some of your comments as we go as well. And then we have the video available on YouTube. We're broadcasting live on the Conscious Resistance Network, and then it'll be available at livefreenow.show in podcast form. So definitely subscribe there. You can do iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts. I think the Amazon Alexa stuff as well, all that good stuff. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get right to it. Here we find ourselves, September 2020, a pretty terrible year for most people. Although when there's crisis and catastrophe, there's also opportunity to grow, to rise above. So before we get into all of what's happening, all the bad stuff, I just want to remind people that every day we have an opportunity to change the way that we live. Every day we have an opportunity to leverage the circumstances that we find ourselves in and utilize them in order to fuel our momentum to live our best lives. So we're going through a great period of transformation right now. And really, it's up to the individual on how this all plays out for them. There's a lot of people that are struggling financially, emotionally, psychologically, relationships are strained, and there's other people that are thriving through this crazy, tumultuous time. So I just want to start by giving you the message that it really is up to you. You have the power to determine how this all pans out for yourself. You're very powerful people, and we really haven't begun to tap into the power that we have as free, beautiful human beings. So I'm going to keep that in mind. I think things are going to get a lot crazier, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. So in this podcast, I'm going to focus on the next few months, but I'm also going to talk big picture and talk about like a a micro analysis, as in the now in the next couple months, and then a meta analysis, as in what can we expect to see change throughout all this stuff. And again, the point is, we on an individual level and on a collective level as a group of free sovereign human beings have a great opportunity right now to sow the seeds, to lay the foundation for some very beautiful things to come, a transformation, a shift away from the old way of doing things, despotism, tyranny, centralization, control, coercion, manipulation, to a new way of doing things, truth, decentralization, more harmonious relationships amongst human beings. But oftentimes, there's like a yin and a yang. So there's some destruction, right? There's a whole lot of destruction going on right now. But I want to call on you and challenge you to, instead of focusing on the destruction, and especially instead of participating in the destruction, I would like for you to focus on the creation and building beautiful things. So yeah, there's that. All right. So here's where we find ourselves. We are hopefully at the end of this pan plan scamdemic. But there's all this talk of second wave and this, that, and the other, and like Europe's experiencing a second wave. Who knows with the manipulation of the numbers? So we got the pan plan scamdemic going on. Simultaneously, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, we see all these protests. I know there's people that are like, that was a staged event, or he died because of drugs. Whatever you think about it, what I saw for sure was a police officer kneeling on a man's neck for like 60 seconds or 9 minutes it was, for some crazy amount of time. Whether he was going to die anyway from an overdose, or whether that accelerated the death or whatever, what I saw was not cool, right? So we have the Black Lives Matter movement sprung into action again after being a little dormant. It wasn't really dormant, but after not being on a grand scale that it was before. And then there is like Antifa, there's communists, Marxists, anarchists, the bad kind, the destroyer anarchists, because I consider myself an anarchist voluntarist. That's all taking place. So you got the COVID, pandemic, and all of the economic problems that come as a result of the government's response. Now, I want to make one thing clear. There's a lot of headlines and articles that say we're having these economic problems and issues because of the pandemic. No, the economic problems and issues are because of the government's response to the plandemic, scamdemic, pandemic, precisely the lockdowns and all of these mandates and all of these new mechanisms that are really throwing a wrench in the economic gears. So we have all that going on. We see an increase in the division between groups. And this is something that I've pointed out before. I have been paying attention to the left-right paradigm for like 20 years now. No, actually, it must have been after Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats took control of the House and Senate back in 2016, I believe it was. No, I'm sorry, 2006. That's when I realized that there was something going on. So I was a 9/11 truther, woke up to all that in 2002, was against the Republicans because I saw it as George Bush's war. And then I supported John Kerry for Democratic presidential candidate in 2004. I was simultaneously learning about the Skull and Bones and how they're both two, you know, it's like a WWE, WWF, like staged kind of stuff. But I still had hope that the Democrats were the anti-war party. Then the Democrats took control of the House and Senate, promising to de-escalate the war and defund the war. And in 2006, they actually increased funding for the war. That's when I began to see through the left-right paradigm majorly. But through my activism, for years after that, it was always like the Democrats versus the Republicans. That was the left-right paradigm. Now we see the extremes and the fringes and those groups that are seemingly willing to utilize political violence in order to achieve those ends. So it's not just Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives. Now we see the factionalism being the boogaloo, white national, I'm not grouping all these groups together, these are different groups, although sometimes there's overlap, Boogaloo movement, militia movement, white nationalists, MAGA, the Make America Great movement, on one extreme, and then you have the Antifa, BLM, anarchists, communists, Mao, there's like Maoist Leninist Red Guard groups. There was one that's defunct now. They transitioned into the Mike Ramos Brigade. We're going to talk about all that stuff when we break that down. We have the factionalism taking place, and it's more extreme. And we have a very real possibility of civil war. It may not be on a grand scale like it was in the 1800s in this country, but there's all these pockets of fighting that are taking place, and it's these extreme movements that are clashing with one another. So we're going to break that all down. And then really the powder keg to just tie it all in and just make things so extreme right now is the presidential election that's coming up with Ron Paul, or not Ron Paul, Donald J. Trump and Joe Biden. And it's not just any election. It is a highly contested election. Although I think without fraud and stuff, I honestly think that Trump has a much more solid base, more motivated following. So I think if, without the manipulation, I think Trump's going to win. But here's the stage that's been set. There is already talk of election manipulation with these mail-in ballots that are being sent out in mass rather than having to be requested. There is all sorts of angst about whether or not Trump will allow for a peaceful transition, right? Because a lot of people, something that Americans take for granted, and again, I'm a voluntarist and anarchist, so this whole system is just really just undermines the whole quote that none are more hopelessly enslaved than those that falsely believe they are free, right? But a lot of people take it for granted in this country that whenever there's a transition of power, it's a peaceful succession that takes place. In a lot of countries, there's like coups and overthrowing this and not recognizing that and total chaos, right? Well, I have a feeling that we are going to experience that in this country. Trump has indicated that he's not going to do a peaceful transition. He wants to contest things. Things may end up in the Supreme Court. And there's going to be a huge period of civil unrest. And at the end of the day, whether if Trump wins or Trump stays in office, then the leftists and the extremists and the Antifa types are going to flip a lid and continue on this chaos. But it's going to happen on a more grand scale. If Biden takes office and Trump doesn't concede, then the whole MAGA community is going to flip out and freak out. And both, like these extremes I was talking about, they show up in their own way, in their own capacity. And there's guns and there is violence and there's clashing. And so the MAGA crews, more militia, conservative types, rugged individualist types, and they're willing to throw down and they have thrown down. And we see all this stuff like Kyle Rittenhouse, and there's violence taking place now. As I said before, unlike the likes we haven't seen since the 60s and 70s when some major stuff was going down. And the government's always waiting in the wings, and the shadow government's always waiting in the wings to further expand their power and set a precedent that doesn't get taken away. And so all of these things are combined to really create the perfect storm, as I would say. So let's get down into each of those things a little bit more. And then we're going to talk about some tips and strategies. And one of the biggest tips to start with throughout these crazy times is to think strategically and to think analytically, right? So always be thinking like you're playing a chess game, not 4D chess for all the Trump folks out there that make excuses for his authoritarian behavior as though it's some sort of deep plan. But really think like you're playing in a game of chess and anticipate moves ahead, not just the moves of the enemies of freedom and those in power, the deep state, shadow government, whatever you want to call them. But think about how things are going to plan out in your neck of the woods, because this is all very different, right? It's a giant country with hundreds of millions of people in it. And folks that are in cities are going to have a different experience when shit hits the fan than folks that are in rural areas. Folks that are in more conservative, independent type people, they're going to have a different experience than people in the suburbs, right? Even different cities, right? Like the major meta cities like Chicago and LA and New York City are going to have a different experience from some smaller cities. And so you really got to know the lay of the land and how the political climate is and how the activist and the movement climate is and what's taking place with the BLM in your area and the possibility of rioting in your area and which political faction has more power here and there. And is it conservative? Is it Republican? Are the Republicans in your state legislature going to side with Trump? Are they going to resist from Trump? Really have an awareness of all of this stuff moving forward. I think really, really, really critically about it. So we're going to break down those different areas. Then we're going to get into the strategies and tips. I want to thank everyone that's tuned in. This is a really big live stream. We got 163 people that are watching on the various channels that we are live streaming to. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in and invite everyone again to check out livefreenow.show, livefreenow.show, where you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to the Conscious Resistance Network as well, theconsciousresistance.com, and check out all of the alternative social media platforms that Derek Brose has set up, because the things that we communicate on this channel and on this program and with Derek Brose, and we got some guys in India that are laying down some anti-COVID stuff. We've already had some videos be censored. It's really only a matter of time before this channel gets pulled down. So I want to make sure that you guys are following us on these other outlets so we can stay in touch and we can keep sharing this great information with you. So let's just break down these different events a little bit more, and then we'll get into the tips and strategies. Okay, so COVID-19, man, this has really changed the game for a lot of people, and it has been a shakeup the likes that this country hasn't seen in quite some time. I guess since 9/11 was a huge, huge event. And the biggest problem, I think, with the COVID-19 that is leading to civil unrest, maybe there's a few different problems. One of which is the angst that people have. People are not able to go to church. Many people go to church every Sunday or as often as they can, and that's an outlet for community, for expression, for spiritual connection. People aren't able to attend weddings of their children or themselves. People have elderly parents in nursing homes they weren't able to see. Now, some of this stuff is letting up in certain areas, but a lot of it's still hardcore lockdown, especially in Democrat-controlled states. People aren't able to go to their weekly poker game that they let steam off. They aren't able to go to the bar. You know, just think about the climate in human relationships right now. There's so much stress and angst. And again, all of these different things, the COVID, the BLM, the left-right factionalism, and the election, it's all combining for this really nasty synergy. Like I like to call it a perfect storm of problems. And I believe that this whole BLM rioting and all these protests, they are empowered by the angst that everyone has. Because we've had this happen in the past with the Ferguson stuff and previous shootings, police shootings, and there's been little uprisings and protests, but it hasn't taken this scale, right? And I do believe that an element of it is contrived, right? I do believe that there's some communist conspiracy stuff going on right now. I was just listening to an interview that Jared Griffin did with old Alex Jones, love him or hate him. I was watching for Jared Griffin. This guy's an old school boss when it comes to the conspiratorial world and all this stuff. And they were really hammering home the communist agenda. You know, the Communist Manifesto, there's multiple different planks of the Communist Manifesto, like income tax and central bank and elimination of property, right? We have some element of private property in the United States that we enjoy compared to other places, but you know, the government owns your property. If you don't pay your property tax, they're going to take it away. And I do think that there is an element of exploitation by shadowy, sinister figures. And I think there's a communist element of that as well, but that doesn't take away from the fact that there is natural organic protests and uprising taking place. And I think that that stuff that's happening has been exacerbated by the angst, the anxiety, the lack of human connection, the disappearance of any semblance of someone's normal life. Think about a family that was already struggling financially, and the mom and dad were constantly fighting. The husband and wife are just at each other. And the only thing that keeps the husband from absolutely snapping and going ballistic on his family is maybe three nights a week, he goes to the bar and he visits with his buddies and he drinks and he lets loose and he kind of relieves that little steam valve. by drinking or whatever, the poker game with his buddies. It's an ideal behavior, but that's what people do. And nope, can't go to the bar anymore. Stuck at home with the contentious relationship. Kids are at home now, laid off, financial problems. People are feeling freaked out and anxious. So that's one of the big problems with COVID that's leading to all this trouble. A second problem is the response by governments. The authoritarian response is creating more angst and creating more uprising. Recall, I think it was Wisconsin, or maybe it was in Michigan, where the governor is absolute authoritarian, but they had armed protests at the state capitol where it was like full-on militia showing up, busting through the doors. There was something too more recently, Ayman Bundy got arrested doing the same thing. There are people that are really pissed off and really rising up. And anytime governments squeeze and they put the squeeze on your rights, there is this pressure that builds up and there's an equal and opposite reaction that takes place. So the government has been just squeezing on people and squeezing. And sure, a lot of the masses are going along to get along and they're genuinely freaked out because they're buying into the sensationalism and the propaganda and the misinformation and disinformation and manipulation of numbers that we see taking place. In fact, I saw someone that had a mask on and it had a figure, a person on the front of the mask. And I was like, is that Donald Trump? And upon examining it closer, it was a freaking Saint Fauci. It was Fauci on her mask with a saint head behind him on the freaking mask. And I was like, oh my God. So yes, there are people that are just eating it up, but even those people have an increase in angst. But there's a lot of people that are mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. And they're disobeying. There's a video that just went viral of the woman that got tased for not having a mask in this huge socially distanced area at a football game or some sports event at a school. And so that's allowing for a lot of problems to take foot because people are not taking it anymore and they're resisting and rising up and they're losing faith in the institution of government and more people are seeing through it. And I've always contended more recently that the deep state, the shadow government have overplayed their hands with this. They pulled off 9/11. So surprised that so many people fell for it. I think that they overplayed their hand on that one, but I think they were more successful with that operation. And a lot of people didn't wake up to it. But at the same time, pulling such an egregious move, there's going to be some consequences for the shadow government. And a lot of people did wake up and a whole bunch of movements got sprung out of that. The 9/11 truth movement, all the conspiracy research just exploded in popularity. Myself, that's how I, quote unquote, woke up and became an activist because of 9/11. Well, the same kind of thing with this COVID operation. I think that they overplayed their hand. There's a lot of people that are now like, whoa, this is not good. We're going to think outside the box. We're going to opt out. We're going to resist. So that's another phenomenon that's taking place that's leading to increase in angst and some changes that we're going to see. And then perhaps the biggest result of COVID is the economic problems. And man, this was already a fraudulent economy on a totally cracked and debased foundation, right? Even, of course, Trump was always touting the stock market and done all this great stuff to the economy. But in reality, it was all an illusion. It was all a fraud because he was simultaneously blowing up the U.S. debt. And this has been happening for presidencies before that, every presidency. The government is essentially bankrupt since 1933. Essentially, figuratively and literally bankrupt. And all of the money is funny money. It's inflated currency. It's quantitative easing. It's the discount window at the Federal Reserve Bank. And even though there's the semblance of growth in the economy and unemployment numbers and GDP, it's all BS and fraud because the foundation of the economic house is cracked. And so you can try to prop it up by putting these big 2x4s that hold up the wall and all sorts of stuff, but it's in bad shape. It was in bad shape. We began to see that as a reality with the 2007 housing crisis. And the response wasn't to let these institutions that were over leveraged fail. The response was more funny money, more economic chicanery, simply kicking the can down the road. And coming up here in a little while, we're going to talk about survival tips and preparedness. And I really got my first understanding of all that in 2006, 2007 through all this stuff and started researching that and what can we do and buy ammo and stock up on food, bug out plan, all that stuff. And then 2007, 2008 happened and it was like, whoa, this is actually the real deal. This is actually happening. And so we see this a continuation of the same economic problems that we already experienced before that was already happening throughout the history of this country, but now it's being exacerbated immensely. And what was the response of the federal government? To pump out trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars through the Federal Reserve Bank and the Department of Treasury. We got these $1,200 here and little pennies and pennies for the peons, pennies and pennies for the peons, PPP, the partnership thing, Paycheck Protection Program. But then there was trillions that were given out to the banks. And so here's what I think is going to be the biggest problem, which just so happens to be happening right after the election. All these people lost their jobs because of the lockdown, not because of COVID, and are not able to afford their rent or their mortgage. And so there was a pause on evictions that took place at the local and state level. And there was this increase in unemployment, extra $400. Many people were making more money than they made at their job, which created a disincentive to go back to work, right? Then that ran out, ran its course. Some local governments kept with it. And then Trump, like wanting to win political points, issues some unconstitutional executive order saying that they are going to bar the evictions until the end of the year. And they're going to increase, I don't know, an extra $200 or something that's less than the $400. And so essentially when that dries up, which I think is at the end of the year, we are going to see a cascade of evictions. Evictions that should have already happened are going to take place all at the same time. And this is going to create a cascading ripple effect in the economy. People can't pay their rent. That means the property owner can't pay the mortgage. That falls back on the banks. And these are banks that are already over leveraged. So what's going to happen? Is the government going to do a whole nother round of $1 trillion bailouts? This is only delaying the inevitable collapse, the inevitable exposure of the total fraud that is the United States economy. And this is extremely problematic. They keep touting this big recovery and the unemployment is reversing itself. And it's not as bad as after the housing crisis. That's a positive thing, but still, at the end of the day, it's all built on fraud. It's all built on Paycheck Protection Program. It's all built on the EIDL emergency relief loans. It's a bunch of new funny money that got injected into the economy, and sooner or later, the chickens are going to come home to roost, and that event can take place when all these people start getting evicted. So we have that all taking place. Not good. Really troubling. And earlier I was talking about thinking about it as chess, foreseeing what is to come. Well, on this channel and a lot of other researchers, we've really been exploring this idea of technocracy. And the powers that be have been churning out propaganda about the new normal, right? And so the angst isn't going to stop, even though we see the curve flattening, right? No matter how much of a fraud you think the COVID thing is, you think is if it's totally fake or if it's partially fake or there is a virus, there isn't virus, hasn't been isolated, PCR test is bogus, whatever. The idea is, oh, the curve is flattened. People can go about their lives, but that's not what the powers that be want. And in many areas, they are going to continue to roll out contact tracing. They're going to have little drones and little computer monitors that take your picture to see if you're wearing a mask. One of the plans for the technocracy is to take away privileges unless you get the vaccine, right? We're going to see mass resistance. We're going to see mass angst. This is only going to continue. I don't see an end in sight. However, in many areas and with many people, the pandemic is already over and people are going on about their lives, which is a very beautiful thing. I see that taking place in Austin. I found a nice little enclave of businesses that don't enforce the mask, that don't hassle you and you don't come in with a mask. And it's a very beautiful thing. And I've seen two different bowling alleys. There was a huge league night, all older people pounding beer, no mask, smoking cigarettes during the break, and not social distancing. And I was like, man, this, wow, that's great. There's been like this outdoor underground rave with 200 to 300 people that was taking place every Friday night in Austin, Texas. I went one of the nights and stumbled upon it and was like, oh my God, the pandemic is freaking over. This is such a beautiful sight. People dancing, sweating, not distancing, maybe like 1% of the people wearing a mask. Very beautiful thing. But the powers that be are going to hold on to this and get as much as they can, squeeze as much value out of this pandemic, plandemic, scandemic as they possibly can. And that's only going to create more angst, more resistance, more rebellion, and more problems for everybody, really. On a bright side, it is, you know, people are getting their wings, their civil disobedience wings. People that never would have broken the law are now defying the mask mandates, and they're going to their Labor Day barbecue at their uncle's backyard, swimming with the kids and all sorts of stuff. So that's a positive thing. All right. So that's everything going on with COVID. Now we have the BLM, the Antifa, the riots taking place. And I know so many people on this channel, I just saw out of the corner of my eye, someone saying that the George Floyd thing was totally faked. I don't subscribe to that. I mean, it's possible. Anything's possible, right? And you see the evidence that people say, and they're like, George Floyd was in porn movies. And it's like, that doesn't mean that what happened was faked. So besides that, we are going to examine what's taking place in the real world, right? And what is taking place are mass protests. And it's not just mass protests. It's mass protests that are mostly peaceful, it seems, during the day. But when night falls, it turns into total chaos, violence, destruction, people being physically assaulted, buildings being burnt down, economies being just decimated and destroyed. Like in Minneapolis, apparently in Minneapolis, there's insurance companies that aren't paying out anymore because they just don't see any end in sight for it to be economically feasible. And they don't see the economy returning. New York City is in decline, has been in decline. California, Los Angeles, total decline. Portland, you had all this Chad stuff taking place in Seattle where they set up an autonomous zone. And then you have the Portland police that aren't really responding at all. And it's just total chaos. This is happening all across the country. Now, earlier I mentioned it's really important to be conscious and aware of what's going down in your particular local area. So, for example, this is the stuff that you want to study, not just what you see on the news, not just what you see taking place in Portland or whatever, the big picture stuff that's talked about, but you want to study what's going down in your local area. So if you live in a major city, chances are there's been protests. Chances are some of those protests have gotten violent. Maybe the local police managed to squash it, right? So I'm in Austin, Texas. I'm on the outskirts of Austin, Texas, and we have a unique position where we have a very liberal, bordering on communist city government here in the city of Austin. They have really, man, the city is in decline with homelessness and crime and the property. I mean, the property tax and everything, they're still trying to increase, but we have a Republican governor. And so the Republican governor is trying to step in, push back on the homelessness stuff, push back on the anti-police stuff. And it's a unique situation. So again, it's important to be conscious of your own situation. So I'm fully aware that there are protest movements in Austin, and the good bulk of them are being carried out by this organization called Austin Justice Coalition, which is like it's similar to BLM, but it's its own thing, right? And there's even this one prominent leader of the organization. And this is more of a mainstream anti-police brutality, racial equality movement. They host protests that are peaceful. They work with the city government in order to reform things, right? Like they just did a whole defund the police thing and cut a significant portion of the Austin Police Department budget, like 33%. Everyone's all freaking out about that. But I'm like, man, I've been paying attention to this for the past 15 years and the budget was extremely inflated. So maybe it got knocked down to more of a natural place. I don't know, but people freak out about everything. So I'm conscious and aware that there's that group, right? And there were some friends of mine that were like, hey, we want our kids to go to this protest and we want them to participate and see what it's like and participate in this Black Lives Matter thing, right? Because whether you think it's a fraud or communist or George Soros or not, this is a phenomenon that's taking place in this country right now. And there are people that aren't getting paid by George Soros or aren't some Illuminati conspiracy that are genuinely interested in seeing greater equality and seeing a reduction in police brutality, especially against African-Americans and minorities. And so I cautioned them. I was like, hold on, let me go just research what the protest is all about before you take your kids to some protest. Because taking your kids to one of the protests organized by Austin Justice Coalition would be a safe bet. There's people there that are chilling and it's not chaos, riots, and craziness. But I went and looked up the protest, and sure enough, it was organized by a group called the Mike Ramos Brigade, who are taking the name of a Latino black guy that got killed by the police. It wasn't a justified shooting, in my opinion. And this is a group that I would describe as an Antifa group. A lot of it grew out of what is called Red Guard Austin, which was a group of Maoist, Leninist, Trotsky, like, I don't know how these ignorant youth could support Chairman Mao Zedong or Lenin or Stalin. And these are the people that they follow. But that group, I guess, is defunct or whatever. They would like do vandalism and all sorts of stuff. Well, the Mike Ramos Brigade is the outbirth of that. And so it's like, oh, okay. Whenever there's property destruction, whenever there's late night, whenever there's any semblance of rioting, apparently they sent some of their people to go riot and loot a Target. It's this Mike Ramos Brigade. So what I'm impart upon you is to be aware of the different factions. And I'm aware of the Mike Ramos Brigade, which is a smaller group. Right. And I don't think, unless there were some people busting and Dallas groups or people were coming all in from all these places, I don't think that this group has the numbers or the strength in order to create hardcore civil unrest in Austin, like you see in Portland, like you see in LA, like you see in New York City. So that's my awareness, being aware of some of the groups. That's what I started off. One of the biggest things that we need to have during these crazy times is critical thinking and a consciousness and awareness of everything that's going on. So not everywhere is like Austin, and Austin actually is getting worse. It seems, who knows, maybe more people are going to get involved. We had Breonna Taylor just happen in Louisville. And then there's all these solidarity things taking place. Maybe there's going to be another egregious George Floyd type event. And then it's just going to pop off even worse. And in the cities that were smaller or that didn't have this whole Antifa influence, it's going to get even worse. We don't know what's going on, but we know that that's taking place. Now, the one thing that I think could lead potentially to a civil war, and we already see these elements of civil war taking place, is the factionalism, the extreme right, extreme left. And I don't like the whole left-right paradigm, but for the purpose of understanding what's taking place in this country right now, that's what we're going to use. Somebody said just a second ago, BLM is a Marxist terrorist group. So I know that some of the leaders and heads of BLM have expressed support and that they go to Marxist trainings. I'm sorry, I keep getting a little notification on my thing from a clock here. I'm just going to turn it off because it keeps distracting me. I know that that does take place. But again, I want people to recognize that there are people that aren't Marxists. There are people that aren't terrorists. There are people that aren't for property destruction that consider themselves part of the broader Black Lives Matter movement. That being said, yes, some of the organizers of BLM are professed Marxists. And you have to be aware, again, back to the consciousness, the understanding, the critical thinking of what's taking place. Marxist, communist, have a particular playbook. And it was Hegel that came up with the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. If you're in the truth or conspiracy movement, you know that is problem, reaction, solution. So you better bet your bottom dollar that that strategy is being utilized and being leveraged by the powers that be, by the deep state, by the shadow government, by the New World Order types, but also by activists, BLM types trying to get a change. And one of that, you know, problem is create destruction, destroy, riot, loot. One of the reactions might even be bigger clampdown by the police. So then we can expose and shine the light on the police. And that's actually something that actually took place here in Austin, Texas. Another level of analysis. The Mike Ramos Brigade, the Antifa red communist leaning group, right? Some of their leaders, they organized a protest that was really nasty, really violent. they took the highway, this highway jamming thing, which is terrible strategy, in my opinion, as an activist. And the police had a very strong-handed response. Okay, so you have a problem. Activists in the street, rioting, blocking the highway, creating unsafe situations, really violent and nasty. Response, reaction, police shooting with not less than lethal munitions, shooting people on the head, people going to the hospital. When the medics come in to help, they shoot the medics. And what is the solution? Problem, reaction, solution. That is what gave the political capital that was needed for the city government to defund the police. See how that works? So yes, there are Marxists and communists that are involved in this whole BLM, this whole Antifa type thing. And that's something that we need to be conscious of. And we need to be aware of that problem, reaction, solution, right? So I haven't even gotten into the bulk of the tips yet that I want to provide for you guys. But the big one is the awareness, critical thinking, the understanding of basic economics, the understanding of human psychology, the understanding of mob mentality, the understanding of the playbook that's been utilized by the powers that be throughout history in order to deceive the public, in order to create a problem with an anticipated reaction so they could roll in their solution. Be aware of that. It happens all the time. Now, as I said before, there's this Democrat, Republican, left-right thing that's always like clashing and we need to reach across the aisle, blah, blah, blah. Now it's an extreme. We've entered a whole new era of political violence and political extremism. I don't like to use the word extremism so much, but I'm using it to describe the phenomenon that I want to talk about. That's a Department of Homeland Security thing, extremist, right-wing extremism, left-wing extremism. But the groups have gotten more fringe. Right. And it used to be all the action was here in the political channels. And maybe there was an anti-war protest that was really big and there was some clashes with police. But now it's like, wow, these Antifa types are really prominent, doing a whole lot of shit. And wow, the militia, Boogaloo, white nationalists. I mean, what took place in Charlottesville was nuts. And both of these groups were there and they clashed and people died. And so all of these events that are taking place, there's this, somebody's doing something to try to bring about change. And then there's a response. Okay, well, the militia types are going to go protect the buildings, right? Or the militia types or white nationalists. And again, I'm not saying that militia types or Boogaloo people are white nationalists. I'm just grouping in. I'm making a grouping of the right thing that's more extreme, more prone to violence, political violence, more fringe, and the left thing that's more prone to political violence, more fringe, right? So the folks in Charlottesville, the right-wing white nationalists, racists, go and have a big rally in Charlottesville. Boom, there's a left reaction. We see that taking place big time, often, with different events. And it's only going to get worse. And both of these groups are heavily armed. And both of these groups are organized, right? I think that there's some conspiracy taking place at the top and there's some direction, although it's not all George Soros, folks. It's not that simplistic. Okay. It's not all a conspiracy where it's George Soros and the communists and the freaking Rothschilds working together and they are steering every single bit of Antifa activity that's taking place. There is organic shit taking place. And perhaps that's what people ought to be most concerned with. The fact that this is real deal, whether it was influenced through social engineering and programming and the media, mainstream media, schools, universities, and all these radicals and stuff or not, it's happening right now. And it's taking on a life of its own. Same thing on the other side, life of its own. More people are being inclined to take up arms, to fight back about of the unrest and everything. And you have the current president, Donald Trump, that is stoking and adding fuel to the fire. Remember early on in his big rallies in 2016, there'd be a protester that would shout, blah, 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 blah. And he'd be like, get them out of here. Oh, clock them. Back in the day, we'd beat them up. And there would be protesters that would be escorted out and the followers would punch the dude, right? So Trump is really adding fuel to the fire. I've always, whenever those things would happen, it would remind me of like a fascist Nazi video where there's a big rally taking place and then there's someone that comes and protests or tries to disrupt and they beat the living crap out of them. I don't know if anyone's seen those clips from Nazi rallies. There was a Nazi rally in the United States of America in New York City, actually, maybe back in the 40s or 30s, where that very same thing happened. That's the clip that I'm thinking of. And we see this kind of stuff happening, you know, and in Spain, Spanish Civil War, in the communist revolution and the Soviet Union getting set up. There's all these different factions that fight with one another. The communists always fight against the fascists, and the anarchists come in and maybe team up with one side or the other. And then when it's all said and done, whoever is the prevailing side, the communists, they'll kill all the anarchists and stuff. This takes place throughout history, and everyone reads about it in a history book thinking like, oh, that was something that happened 50 years ago, 100 years ago over there. Right. That happened over there. It's just some thing we read about and we learned about. And nobody understands that it could happen here. And in fact, it is happening here. This is happening here right now. In our country, in the United States of America. And it is concerning. It's not good. And it's only accelerating and escalating. And we all need to be aware of it because it's all going to come to a big head, which brings me to the next point. The election that we have coming up, it's going to be highly contested. The stage is already being set for some sort of constitutional crisis. And if Trump is elected, the radicals and the leftists and the BLM and the Antifa and the extremist anarchists are going to ramp up their activities. On the other side, if Biden gets elected, MAGA country and the militia types and all of the Boogaloo folks are going to flip out, and it's going to be a problem. There could even be some military involvement. All of the left Democrats and Pelosi and Biden and Eric Holder, I saw this video, it's a compilation of all of them, and they're all like, we're concerned that Trump's not going to vacate the White House and he's going to utilize the military. He's going to continue to maintain leadership over the military and not going to allow this transition. This is all coming up. It's happening right now. And so there's never been a better time than now to get prepared. And in fact, should have been getting prepared a long time ago. And so now we're going to get into the portion. I didn't think I'd spend 45 minutes on analysis, but now we're going to get into some tips, some strategies, some practical real world things that you can do to protect your family, your community, your crew, yourself, if you're solo. And, these are really important things that we ought to be really conscious of and we need to start doing. And hopefully some of you have already been doing it and you're already way ahead of the curve. There's an old saying that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago and the next best time is today. Same is true about getting prepared. So the first tip that I already just broke down a whole lot is having an awareness, thinking analytically, thinking critically, playing chess with life and being aware of what moves are to come. The next big tip, which is super important, is to squad the fuck up. Okay? Squad the fuck up. If you live in a suburban area and you don't have that ranch on the outskirts of town or a few hours away you can go to, and you may have to weather the storm in the suburban area, we're going to talk about other properties and bugging out in a second. Make sure you have a relationship with your neighbors. Find the people that you can rely on. Chances are there's people that are like you that have the same beliefs. Maybe they're fishermen. Maybe that's they're former law enforcement or they have guns or whatever. Find those people. Chances are if you live in the suburbs, there's a lot of ninny types and softer type people, right? But still, somewhere in there is the guy with the boat in front and the garden in the back and the guy with the whatever, the America flag, so on and so forth. Build relationships with these people. You know, it's the type of thing where if you have a garden or you have chickens in your backyard, you give a token of appreciation. You give gifts. You bring the eggs over. You bring the pot roast over or whatever. Build a relationship. Yes, a lot of people are afraid of COVID, but the people that are so damn afraid of COVID, you don't want them to be in your squad either way, right? You want the people that are like, oh, yeah, I don't wear a mask, so on and so forth. Start hanging out on the driveway, drinking a beer, and bonding and building a relationship, because when shit hits the fan, you are going to want to have a crew. Okay. Here's the part of the video where I plug Freedom Cells, a great way to find people in your area. If there's not people in your area, we have a manual that gives you some tips and strategies on how you can go recruit people, where to recruit people, where to find the others, where to find like-minded people. But as is, there's over 4,200 people that belong to the Freedom Cell Network that are conscious of what's going on and that are ready to do something about it. Solutions-oriented people squad up. The Freedom Cell concept is to find approximately 8 people of like mind that you trust that you want to work with, work on common goals with them. Some of the common goals that we encourage people to start with are to have an encrypted communication channel, ideally have an off-grid communication channel, whether it's shortwave radio, ham radio, CB radio, to start storing food and working together to store food. We're going to talk about food production here in a second, and to have firearms and know how to use them safely and proficiently, and to work on getting the same caliber gun, right? Bullets, ammo's going for 50 cents to a dollar right now, 80 cents a round. It's absolutely nuts. And then you go to the range, you're like, tut, 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 doing the double tap. And you just, $2, boom, boom, $2, boom, boom, $2, boom, boom, $2. So if you're not stocking up on ammo, even though it's extremely inflated, start stocking up now, little bits here and there. But when you work with a group, you can buy bulk ammunition. So you got your little Freedom Cell inner cadre around 8 people. You're like, all right, well, 9mm, 2 of us already have 9mm. The other guys, let's go ahead and get you 9mm and let's start buying in bulk so we can get a better rate of the ammunition. And the other thing people do, we're going to talk about this also, is to have a bug out plan with your inner cadre group. You form your inner cadre group, you link up with other inner cadre groups in your area, and you create what's called a middle cadre. Now you have 30, 50, 60 people of like mind prepared to support one another when shit hits the fan, or even if it doesn't. Then you have your middle cadre, around 64 people, 8 groups of 8 ideally, could be 2 groups of 8, whatever. You link up with the other middle cadres that are in your Texas area or in the country, and you guys work together, share ideas, skill share, strategies, support one another. That's exactly what we're doing. There's over 4,000 people, so I strongly invite you to go to freedomcells.org, sign up, put yourself on the member map. Don't use your home address, but use the Starbucks down the road or the park down the street, and find and link up with other people in your area. That's what people are doing. Shit's hitting the fan. We're preparing ourselves to be able to opt out, to be able to continue life as usual when the technocracy kicks into overdrive, or when the shit hits the fan after this election, or as things continue to deteriorate and there's more civil unrest. We have a network of people that are ready to throw down and support one another. That's what I mean when I say squad the fuck up. If you're not going to take it that far, if you're not going to join the Freedom Cell movement or whatever, if you have family, immediate family, get them on board. It doesn't take a conspiracy theorist wearing a tinfoil hat to see the forest for the trees that we are experiencing right now. The riots are happening. The economy is in shambles. The mainstream media is talking about the election crisis that we're going to experience. It's now an easier time to wake people up out of their slumber and to activate them to prepare. So that's what I want to strongly encourage you to do with your family, with your immediate family, with your extended family, your aunts and uncles, the guys that you get together and play poker with. You need to find somebody so you're not alone, right? A lot of the preparedness stuff is about self-sufficiency, but it's not necessarily self-sufficiency. It's very difficult to be sufficient with just you and your family. It's about community reliance. It's about building reciprocal relationships where you have people that will get your back and you will get their back. It's a very beautiful thing, and it's absolutely necessary if we are to survive, and not just survive, but thrive during the coming BS. So the first thing, besides critical analysis, is to squad the fuck up. Next thing I would encourage you to do, if possible, again, this is stuff that already should have been done. It's not never too late though, right? Is to get the hell out of the cities. These cities are powder kegs. They are not a natural way for humans to organize themselves. They're probably inflated and socially engineered and easy access to capital and credit. There's cities that are busting out, like Detroit's busting out. Minneapolis is busting out. New York City's busting out. Yes, there's opportunity in the cities. There's art, there's culture, there's restaurant, there's family, there's all sorts of stuff. There's business, there's economic opportunity. More and more that's becoming a problem. Not for everybody, though. So if you do insist on living in the city, if your career, if you're employed in the city, if your family, if you're taking place of your older relatives, for example, like my folks, God bless them, they're in great shape and they're doing great. But my sister's here, my brother's here, my nephews, my nieces, my parents are here. And, you know, come another 10, 20 years, my parents can be pretty damn old. So I want to at least be anchored near the city. But I have plans right now to get the hell out of the city. I'm on the outskirts of the city right now, which is good, but I want to get further away from the city. And I suggest you do the same. All this stuff I'm going to be sharing about, I'm not on some high horse. I like doing these videos because it lights a fire under my ass to get more on it as well, right? So I got some preps going. There's been some preps going. I'm getting more prepped, buying more ammo, for example. But I'm not all the way there. And the idea is, like, here's the ideal where you have the 20-acre bug out spot with the underground bunker, and you got 6 months worth of food storage. You have a well, you have a squad of 8 buddies that are all going to meet you there when shit hits the fan. Each one of them is trained in tactical SWAT type. Some of them are former military. Some of them are former law enforcement. You have the CB radios. You got the ham radio set up. You have your off-grid 4x4 truck that's outfitted with all sorts of steel so it can resist bullets, blah, blah, blah. That's the ideal, right? And here's where most people are at. And the name of the game is just to just inch a little bit closer to this, all right? Maybe you make it all the way there. Maybe you listen to Jack Spirko on the Survival Podcast for the past 10 years and you're already close. Just get closer. Just get closer. That's all that we're talking about. If you get just a little bit closer, 20%, 30% closer, it's going to make a world of difference when shit inevitably hits the fan. So the city's no good. City is where the chaos is taking place. There's too many damn people packed into one place. There's authoritarian police departments, sheriff's departments that have military grade weaponry and hardcore tanks that are supplied by the Department of Homeland Security that were used in war or that are surplus from wars, from building up wars. They want to use that stuff. They've been trained to use that stuff. They're using that stuff. The city is where there's a lot of people that aren't prepared, that are just lemmings, la, 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 watching mainstream media, going along to get along. They don't have a consciousness of what's to come. They don't have a consciousness of how to prepare for what's to come. When shit hits the fan, these people are going to freak out. And again, the first tip was to think critically, to think about chess. Put yourself in the shoes of a father who has not done any preparation, who doesn't have any food, who has a newborn and a couple other kids. Shit hits the fan. He's been out of work for 6 months now. He doesn't have any preps. He doesn't have any food. And the bread lines are overwhelmed and the government is failing and the supply chain has just been crippled and crushed. So coming in with the bread and the wheat isn't there for the bread and the highways are all jammed up from 18 wheelers that got set on fire from civil unrest, Mad Max type scenario. That father, maybe just a year ago, wasn't willing to break into your house to take the food that you have. But now that his children are struggling to nourish themselves, you can bet your ass that he's going to be doing things that he never thought possible. So you need to be prepared for that. You need to be squatted up. You know, the best way to win a fight, I was listening to the podcast earlier. I was already planning on doing this podcast, but it was a similar topic. Pete Quinones and the Free Man Beyond the Wall. And he had a couple ex-military, ex-police guy on there. And they said, the best way to win a fight is to avoid it altogether. So a lot of the fights are going to be going down in the city. Get your ass out of the city. At least 45 minutes, right? You can still maintain the benefit of the city, the work, the arts, the culture, visiting your family, friends, whatever, but get the hell out of the city for where you live. Now, it doesn't have to be sell your house, move out of the city. It could be keep the house, keep the life. Again, since 2006, I've been like, shit's going to hit the fan. And then a few years went by and then we went through the 2007, 2008 housing crisis and like shit didn't hardcore hit the fan. Again, they just like reinflated the bubble. It's all funny money. And I realized like, huh, maybe it's just going to be this soft decline. But I never anticipated COVID, rioting, police brutality, BLM type stuff, and Trump and this crazy contested election. But it's also possible that this is just like, boom, and we roll through it, right? And then maybe 20 years or 10 years down the road is the whole chaos, civil war, total crisis scenario. I don't know. So you don't necessarily be drastic and just ditch everything and you have equity built up in your home and you sell it and you move out. So if you're already established in the city, one thing you can do is buy the plot of land. You know, you get 45 minutes outside of major cities. You can get yourself 5 acres for $150,000, $100,000. Not everyone has that ability to do that, which is why it's extremely important. And I need to emphasize this and hammer on this more, right? The topic, the tagline for the show is bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Always bang on the freedom. That's my passion. That's where my heart is. Health is my business, and natural health and health freedom is critically important. But I'm also way into prosperity and have managed to really grow the revenue of my business and grow my income pretty dramatically out of necessity and out of sheer will, wanting to have a better life for my children, not live in poverty ever again. But when you have money, you have more choices and you have freedom. Money won't make you happy. Money doesn't bring you happiness, but it makes it a lot easier to pursue happiness, and it gives you more choices. So if you're working, if you're still employed, do whatever you can to provide so much value to the company that you're next in line to get a raise. Do whatever you can to start that side hustle so you can start stashing money aside, even if it's Uber Eats or whatever. You are going to want access to capital in order to protect yourself, in order to have more choices and more freedom of movement, in order to have more mobility. If you had shitty credit, get your freaking credit cleaned up. Sure, we all want to pay cash. We don't want to be slaves to the banks. We don't want to pay interest, whatever. But again, it's all about freedom. It's all about movement. It's all about choices. Somebody that lives in the city, they're renting an apartment, their income is crap. They've been spending their time since this lockdown started watching Netflix videos and moping and fucking around on Facebook. That's not a good position to be in. You're stuck. You could barely pay your $1,000 rent, your $1,500 rent. You don't want to be in that position when shit hits the fan. You don't want to be in that position now as shit is hitting the fan, when it's going to hit the fan worse. Got to get a side hustle. Work your ass off. Learn some new skills. Don't have any skills, don't feel like you got much to offer the world, go to trade school and learn to be a freaking electrician. This buddy I went to high school with, his younger brother, he's an electrician. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. He's an electrician. Now he's posting pictures like of the work that he's done on these mansions. He's an electrician and he caters to wealthy, massive houses, and he gets paid bank. Point is, you're going to want to have extra money. They'll give you extra choices. One of those choices would be, and again, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I do know that shit is inevitably going to hit the fan. It's not a question of if, but when. So does it happen in November? Does it happen in December? Does the Supreme Court get involved? Does all this stuff come to a head? Is there another George Floyd-like event that takes place? Whatever. Is there a world war? Do people see the United States in a position of weakness? Does Joe Biden take office? And all of a sudden, these other countries are all pissed off and their ego bruised, the world leaders, because Trump was beating them up on trade deals or whatever, and now they see the U.S. is weak, and so they attack. Does Trump start pulling troops out of the Middle East, and then the other countries see an opportunity to set up the regional hegemony that they've been trying for? Because that's what's taking place in the Middle East. It's the United States wants to have a preeminent position in the Middle East so Russia and China can establish hegemony, which is essentially the power, the like a monopoly on power in a certain geographic area. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that if you have money now, or if you work your ass off and you have more money a year or two from now than you do today, you're going to be in a much better position than you are now if you're broke watching Netflix with the thumb up your butt, fucking around on Facebook all day. The point is, get yourself some access to capital, clean up your credit. If you live in the city, sell your place, move out to the country, maintain the place, get a secondary place. It doesn't even have to be, you could get a 2-acre little 1-acre mini homestead in that small town that's an hour away, 30 minutes away, and you could pop a freaking RV on it. You could spend $75,000, get a half acre in this little podunk town that's an hour outside of town, $75,000. The mortgage on a property like that would be super duper cheap, or the land loan on a property like that. And then you get yourself a $10,000 or a $5,000 little RV. You build a nice shed and you start taking that storable food out there. Taking that storable food out there. Bam. You get a property with a well, whatever. You and your buddies pitch in on the property. That's a way to do it. That's why there's strength in numbers. You already have your freedom cell, your inner cadre. Everyone's on the same page. They're ready to do something to protect themselves and their families. Everybody comes to the table with $10,000. You get the down payment. You buy yourself the $100,000 piece of property. Everybody has their little RVs. Everybody's prepared with a plan. Point is, cities are not where you want to be when shit hits the fan. You don't have to buy the property. It's all about, that's why I said squad the fuck up was one of the most important things, because when you have a network, you can have a lack of access to capital, no money in the bank, but a strong network, right? Like me and my ex-wife did the poverty activist thing for like 10 years. Then we had kids and it was like, poverty doesn't work when you have two kids. This really sucks. Time to make some more money, right? But we didn't have financial wealth, But we had wealth in that we were connected to people all across the country through the Liberty Movement, where we could take a country tour, and in just about every major city or state, there's somebody that would be willing to put us up, that we could meet with, that we could bond with if we were in trouble. Like in New Hampshire, the Free State Project went and picked up our school bus, converted school bus, broke down. I was in New Hampshire, networked with the Free State Project. All it took was a little call to their little Porcupine 411 little alert system, and somebody came and bailed us out and picked us up and helped us out. It's all about network. It's all about access. It's all about choices. Okay, so if you don't have a lot of money, if you haven't been focused on money, a lot of people on this channel are like, money's evil, blah blah, and you're like, you're really just like pushing money away. You're like, you say money's evil, you say money's corrupt, you say money is problems and money's the root of all evil, then really the number one thing you're doing is saying, money, get the hell away from me. And money's like, oh, we were thinking about going to hang out with that guy, but now he thinks we're evil, so we're going to stay the F away. If you're not money, if you're not into money, if you don't have money, if you don't have access to capital, if your credit score is 550, then you better really focus on adding value to other human beings. So when shit hits the fan, you have that network built in. And that's something that we'd like to offer people with the Freedom Cell Network. All right, I spent a lot of time on that one, but it's really critically important. I had financial success as my next one, but I think we already hit that as well. Okay, so really what's most important throughout all this is the ability to feed yourself, right? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So food production is actually absolutely important. You got your place outside the city, or you have your place inside the city. If you're not already gardening, you better start. Now's the best time. Again, remember the analogy with the tree? When's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. When's the next best time now? When's the best time to plant a garden? 2 years ago, you've just been reaping the benefits of it. When's the next best time? Now, you know, it's not the easiest thing to take a plant from seed to fruit. Like it's sure as easy to grow okra here in the state of Texas, and tomatoes are damn easy, but corn and some other stuff, I was never able to turn corn from seed to fruit. Never able to do it. I think it was a pollination problem or something. But get yourself a garden. If you live in an apartment, get yourself a container garden on your back patio. Fill the whole damn thing with little containers, little pots, multi-level, and grow some damn food. If you live in an apartment, link up with some friends, come over every weekend and work on the garden in their backyard. If you have acreage, plow the freaking land and do some massive row crops. If you have a backyard, do row crops. Yeah, you know, raised bed gardens are great. Huiculture, aquaponics, but the easiest thing is to till the land in rows and to plant in the ground. When it comes to gardening, one of the most important things is the soil nutrients, cultivating, maintaining healthy soil, composting, churning up that compost, mix it with the plant matter, with the old dry leaves, with the shaved grass, turn it up, get yourself a nice brew and augment the soil with the compost, and then you'll have some really beautiful things. You need to be doing the food production. You need to be actively growing your own food. Another great tip is every time you go to the grocery store, so let's say you go to the grocery store once a week. Every time you go, let's say you spend $200 at the grocery store for your family. Every time you go, add 20%. So spend $200, spend an extra $40 and buy canned food, storable food, non-perishable food items. This is a great way. If you're on a tight budget, you don't have an extra $200 set aside to buy the food storage or to go all in on cans, you just buy a little bit extra 20% every time, an extra 10%, an extra 50%, whatever it is you can afford, start stocking up. I used to say we need 2 weeks worth of food storage. I've upgraded that to 3 months worth of food storage. Now, I don't have 3 months worth of food storage, but we're doing the little stock up thing. And in fact, I was just talking to my girlfriend. I think the next thing we're going to do is, you know, we usually spend like $200 to $300 at the grocery store. My kids eat a whole lot, but I think the next thing to do would be like to spend $200 to $300 just on non-perishable foods, canned foods. The next step is the storable food, is these emergency, My Patriot Supply, whatever. I don't know which the best one is. I don't buy from them. A lot of them are backed up. Find one that you can trust. Find one that's actually delivering. It's only going to get worse. Same thing with the ammunition. It's only going to get more expensive. It's only going to get more scarce. Supply and demand. Find some storable food. That's the deep storage food that'll last you a year or two. You could slowly start bulking up on that. The thing is, if you haven't started doing this, you're going to want to start now, and you're going to want to buy in bulk. You're going to want to buy $100 worth of cans. If you can't do that, You're going to want to do a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. It's critically important. I started anticipating in February that we were going to have some problems with this COVID stuff. I sent out some emails and was talking to my family. We started some group threads with my family, with some of my high school friends. And I was like, you need to stock up on food. You need to stock up on food. And sure enough, the grocery stores were a rat race. Canned food was off the shelves. Toilet paper was off the shelves. Not only do you need to buy food, you need to buy the toilet paper, you need to buy the soap, you need to buy all those supplies and buy them in bulk, ideally. Additionally, you don't want to just buy soap, buy toilet paper, all that stuff. You also want to focus on the medical needs. Okay, quick plug for Kratom, sponsor of this program. Red Kratom is great for pain. You're going to want to have something like this, or have some ibuprofen or some Advil, whatever it is. You can get a free ounce of Kratom, freeounceofkratom.com. We also sell colloidal silver. That's a great thing. Antibacterial, anti-infection, antiviral, antimicrobial. Great for cleaning cuts, cleaning wounds. When someone comes down with the runny nose, the infection, you can nebulize it. You could drink it. You could put it on the wound. MMS, chlorine dioxide. This is a very special substance that the government does not want you to try. The FDA hates it. A couple people got locked up for selling it. Look in Google MMS. Well, actually, don't Google. Use DuckDuckGo and then go through two or three pages worth of stuff, because all the first stuff is going to be total propaganda and misinformation, just like with Kratom. But this is something that's antiviral, antibacterial, and could really come in handy if you get critically sick and you're not going to be able to go to the hospital because shit hit the fan, or there's some pandemic, plandemic, scandemic going on, or a real pandemic going on. You're going to want to already have this stuff in place. Here's a part that doesn't feel good to talk about, but it's good advice. If you are utilizing some sort of pharmaceuticals, you're going to want to talk to your doctor or your pharmacist and start stocking up on extra. If you're taking opioids, Kratom is a great alternative to opioids. I'm saying this not to sell you Kratom, but because if you start going to your doctor and asking for more opioids and bigger prescriptions, you might run into a problem. But if you're someone that suffers from chronic pain for whatever reason, you're not going to want shit hit the fan. The pharmacy is boarded up down the street because riots have been taking place and you don't have access to your pain medicine. You're definitely not going to want to be in pain or needing whatever high blood pressure medicine or whatever it is, and you got to bug out and you're all fucked because you've been utilizing this pharmaceutical for the past 10 years. And now all of a sudden you don't have any more because you weren't prepared and didn't stock up when you could, and shit hit the fan and the pharmacy got burnt down. I'm telling you, folks, if you're not doing this stuff, you need to, because we spent the first 45 minutes of this broadcast telling you why we are experiencing a perfect storm of world events, country events that could lead to some serious shit going down. And I think the powder keg event, so we got all these like massive piles of gunpowder, BLM, COVID pandemic and angst, and people are all freaked out. They haven't visited their family. No, they haven't had sex in like in 6 months because they're not dating or anything. You got the BLM shit. You got the left and right fighting and factionalism. And then the election comes along. It's just a match. You're going to want to be prepared. So if you're taking pharmaceuticals, if you're dependent on pharmaceuticals, if you rely on pharmaceuticals to have a decent quality of life, start stocking up. Stock up on the natural alternatives. Stock up on the cannabis, stock up on the CBD, stock up on the Kratom, stock up on the colloidal silver, stock up on the MMS. Great thing. Learn about chlorine dioxide. Great to have in a survival situation. All right. You could take all that stuff and you can put it in a bug out bag. Let me talk about bug out for a second. So ideally, you have a property you can bug out to and it's outside the city. If you don't, you and your buddies work together. If you don't have buddies, you need buddies. That's why I started with Squad the Fuck Up. But you got to have a bug out spot. You got to have somewhere to go when shit hits the fan, especially if you live in a major city. Ideally, you already have a property and that's where you live. You're 30 minutes, 45 minutes outside the city. You got your garden going on. You're like, why the hell would I bug out? I'm chilling here. We're squatted up. We got a nice fence around the property. I know my neighbors. They're squatted up too. They all are gun owners. We're okay. But if you live in a shitty spot, if you live in an apartment especially, you might need to bug out. Now, there's a balance and there's a fine line between bugging in and bugging out. Right. So all this COVID stuff took place. Some of my friends, they bugged out. They like went to their remote spot in North Carolina mountains and they bugged out. But then it's like, okay, well, this seemed pretty calm. Maybe we didn't need to bug out. We could have bugged in. Right. And so if you have the privilege of having a spot to bug out to, then makes that choice a little bit easier. If you don't have that option, get that option. If you don't have the money to get it, if you don't have the access to capital, then clean up your credit and get that option. But if you have to bug in, then you need to get your preps there. You need to make sure your house is fortified. You need to get your security camera. You need to get your extra locks. You need to get your food storage, cool, dry place. One tip on water storage. I didn't mention water. This isn't a good long-term solution because the plastic will deteriorate and most of the plastic jugs probably have BPA. But every time you have a milk jug or an orange juice jug, you finish it, you fill it with water. Ideally, you're not drinking tap water and fluoride, right? So you got your ProPure filter, water filtration system, and you fill it up with water and you put it in the bottom of the closet in a cool, dark place. Now you want to cycle these through because the water will start to deteriorate and the plastic will leach in, right? So this isn't going to last forever, but here's another way to stock up on food storage to save money. Or you get yourself those big 5-gallon jugs, store them in the closet, store them in the garage, whatever. So that's a tip on water. Now, there's certain phenomenon that would lead you to bug out and to go out and venture out in the world. So again, COVID, that maybe wasn't necessary to bug out. It was like a soft tyranny, soft lockdown. We haven't fully experienced financial calamity that I think that we will experience. But if you live in downtown Portland, or New York City in the middle of Manhattan, or Los Angeles downtown near the police station, the district headquarters, you bet your ass that you want to bug out when there's riots taking place and neighborhoods are being burnt down to the ground and apartment buildings being burnt down and shit is just hitting the fan, right? So the idea is to know where that line is before, to be conscious of it. So when that line triggers, you're not like, should we bug out? What do we do? You've already talked about it and you have a plan with your squad or with your family or with your significant other or yourself. You already know in your head what phenomenon needs to happen. What's the criteria for what it's going to take for us to bug out, right? Now, this is again why the freedom cells are a really great thing, because you find 8 people, chances are maybe one of them has a property on the outskirts of town. Or one of them has a property inside of town, but it's not in suburbs or downtown or an apartment complex. Or if it's not in your group of 8, then it's in your middle cadre of 64 people. For the people that are watching in Austin, Texas, I want to do a quick plug to invite you tomorrow at 3:00 at Indra's Warehouse. It's a church. We're going to be hosting a Freedom Cell Summit. We're also going to be live screening it. We're going to be screening it on Zoom. You go to freedomcells.org, register, and then go to the events. You can find it there. Or if you're on Facebook, find me, John Bush, and check out my profile page. The idea is to squad up and to create this environment and the situation to pre-plan, pre-operational planning. So when shit hits the fan, we have a community that we can rely on that can support us and we can make stuff happen for. So that's the bug out. In addition to a bug out plan, you're going to want a bug out plan, a bug out bag. Some people call this a 72-hour bag. It's a backpack, sturdy backpack, and in it you put supplies, the supplies that you would need if you're on the run or on the go for 24, 48, 78 hours. This could be like a total crisis scenario. You know, one of the bug outs that I always thought would be a necessary bug out is if the government's coming for you. We don't know how tyrannical and how crazy things could get. Could find yourself in a situation where all of a sudden you're a fugitive for some victimless crime, or CPS is coming after you and your family or whatever. That's a damn good reason to bug out, when the tyrannical arm of government's coming to put you in a cage. You're going to want a 24 to 72 hour bug out bag. This could be on foot. You're trekking it. You laid out a plan on Google Maps. You went and scouted it out, pre-operational planning. You know you can go through this big ranch. You know you got to jump the barbed wire fence here. Maybe there's a pickup spot over here. This is where you're going to meet on the outskirts of town with your crew. Then y'all are going to convoy the extra hour to go to the ranch that so-and-so has. Could be on foot. Could be driving. So you can have your bug out plan at your home, your bug out bag at your home, or you can keep the bug out bag in the car. You know, you're always, when times are really tough, it's really a good idea to keep a full tank of gas in your car, because if shit hits the fan, if there's a natural disaster, some sort of emergency, there's going to be long lines at the gas station. There could be problems. If there's a major disruption in the supply chain, there's going to be problems. You're going to want to have a full tank of gas. So my advice is, don't just do the little $5, $10 thing. Fill the tank of gas every single time, every opportunity you have. Which reminds me, I need to go to the gas station. So you got your bug out bag. In your bug out bag, you're going to have your little meals, your non-perishable meals, some granola bars or whatever. You're going to have some water. You're going to have a change of clothes. You're going to want to have, if it's cold, if you have a cold climate, one of those really thin like NASA blanket type things. You're going to have that. You're going to have a knife, pocket knife, preferably one of the handy pocket knives that has a screwdriver and the cork popper and the beer bottle opener and Phillips and the flathead screwdriver, knives, a little saw type knife. You're going to want to have a gun. That's the one of the final things we're going to talk about is guns, but you're going to have a gun in your bag with a couple extra magazines of ammunition. And you're going to have a small first aid kit, some alcohol, some kratom would be perfect in your bug out bag if you run into pain or whatever. You're going to want to have some ibuprofen, some iodine if there's a really serious wound. You want to have a little Band-Aid to act as something to cut off, not a Band-Aid, but something to constrict blood flow if you have a really serious cut or something going on. And you're going to want to prep all sorts of resources online. Just search bug out bag videos, lists of things to have, right? If anybody wants a hot business idea to buy these bug out bags and to have the supplies, you let someone customize it and then you go build it for them and you ship it to them with an upcharge, of course. That would be a great business idea for someone to take advantage of. But you're going to want to have a bug out bag. So if shit hits the fan, you got to go on foot, make sure it's comfortable, make sure it's not too heavy. If you're able to take your car, keep the bug out bag in your car and be ready to roll. Bug out plan, bug out bag, super critical. All right, and then the final thing I want to touch on is guns. If you don't own a firearm, there's never been a better time to purchase a firearm. If you live in a constitutional carry state, you should carry a firearm along with you. If you don't and you have to ask the government permission, I know it's unfortunate, it doesn't feel good, but you might want to ask the government permission, or you could be an agorist and just carry on your own. But you're going to want to get a nice, small, compact pistol that you can carry on your person. It would also be good to have a nice shotgun for home defense or for hunting. And then if you get access, if you can access an AK-47 or an AK or an AR-15 or some assault rifle, as they call them, which is just a propaganda term, that's a good idea to have that as well. Those are for when shit really hits the fan and there's either marauding rioters or there's looters because nobody has access to food and they're just going door to door, a gang of thieves, right? Nobody wants to think about this actually happening, but think about nightmare scenario, like The Walking Dead without the zombies. Who knows? Maybe there would be zombies from some crazy experiment that got on the loose. But all the crazy dystopian movies that you watch, a lot of that stuff is desensitization and part of a mind control social engineering operation. But think about worst case scenario and how prepared are you for something like that? May never happen, but it could. May not be the worst case Mad Max scenario, Walking Dead scenario, marauding rioters, roving from house to house, raping and pillaging gangs, right? Because, you know, shit hits the fan and there's still going to be gangs, criminal elements that are organized crime. What are they going to do? Are they all of a sudden going to become ethical, good Samaritan, Boy Scout type figures? No. In fact, a lot of the rioting that's taking place, it's either Antifa, deliberate Marxist, wanting to destroy things, leveraging the BLM, police accountability movement, for their own communist anarchist purposes. Again, I use the word anarchist lightly because I'm an anarchist, but not the destruction type. I'm the creation building type. So that's the rioting taking place. But a lot of the other rioting is criminal gangs that already stole from businesses. And they're like, I'm going to seize the opportunity to go steal some freaking TVs right now. When shit hits the fan, those gangs are still going to exist and they're going to want to hurt people in order to get things and to feed themselves and to exploit the opportunity, break into people's houses and take their saves and stuff. You're going to want to be ready to squad up. That's why you need to have a firearm. And as I said before, ammunition is like 80 cents a round, a dollar a round, extremely hard to come by. You're going to want to start bulking up big time, which brings me back to why it's important to have financial security and have choices. Oh, money's evil. Money's a problem. No, money helps you get shit done and gives you access and gives you choices and gives you freedom that you wouldn't have without the money. A dollar a round, it's pretty fucking daunting. You got to spend minimum $50. I went on a website recently, it was a minimum $79 order for the fucking ammunition. It's not going to let up. The civil unrest is going to continue. I have a buddy that owns a gun store here in Austin. And man, since the school shooting started popping off and since the police shootings and the BLM stuff and the rioting started popping off, homeboy is just maxed out. He does the LT license to carry classes, sells the firearm, sells the ammo, maxed out all the time. It's not going to let up. You need to make the financial sacrifice to get yourself a firearm if you don't have one, and ammunition. Don't just get a firearm, be like, well, I got a gun, I'm safe now, right? Because it's, you know, you're messing with the firearm. It can be a little overwhelming and daunting if you're not used to it or accustomed to it. I need to get out to the range myself or find a buddy that has a property. We can go shooting some more. I haven't gone to shoot in a while, and this is all bringing it back to me. Used to have a huge stash of ammo, boxes, the metal cases of it and everything. And then the room that it was being stored in got flooded out a few years ago when there were some hardcore floods here in San Marcos and Austin, Texas. I know a lot of people are like, I have all those guns. They got lost in a boating accident, but that really happened. And so slowly but surely, I'm trying to rebuild because, man, ammunition's, it's also a valuable investment as well. If you bought ammo a few years ago and it's 16 cents a round, now it's a dollar a round. There's people that trade amongst themselves. There's little online marketplaces where you can make a listing that you have all this bulk ammo, 223, 48, whatever. So get a gun. Don't just get a gun. Learn how to use it safely and proficiently in defense of yourself, your family, and your community. Link up with someone in your community. Again, it goes back to community and network, the Freedom Cell Network. There are people that know guns. There's people that do training. There's former military, former law enforcement. There's people that have squatted the fuck up. Link up with these people. Hey, you free next week? I would really appreciate it if you could take me to the range and show me some of the basic stuff about firearms. You learn how to shoot it. Learn what to do if it gets jammed, right? You don't want to just fumble. Oh my God, I'm in the middle of a shootout and I don't know what to do when my gun got jammed. You want to learn to use it. Then ideally you learn to use it tactically in defense of your home, in defense of other people's homes, in defense of the gang that's roving, going house to house. Just here's the great lesson about a gun, and it also applies to all of this stuff, right? We've talked about a lot of stuff. We're going to be wrapping it up here pretty soon. I've gone an hour and a half. Usually my podcast lasts an hour. There's an old saying about guns. It's better to have one and not need it than to need one and not have it. The same is true about all of these preps that we've talked about. It's better to have the bug out spot outside of the city and not need it than to not have the bug out spot and riots pop off down the street and the convenience store down the road is getting burnt and looted, right? It's better to have the extra medical supplies and the bug out bag and not need it than to not have it and need it. It's better to have a squad. Squad. Squad doesn't cost you money. Squad doesn't cost anything. Squad costs you building trust, adding value. Right? When you have a group, you want to build shared value based on shared values. So if you're watching this video, chances are you're hip to some of the stuff that I've been talking about. I strongly invite you to go to freedomcells.org and join our squad. We've managed to build a squad of over 4,000 people, and I would very much love for you to be a part of it. All right. Whew. I don't think I'm going to go through the comments. The comments have been popping off. We got 234 people. A lot of people have stayed. Usually these videos have 70 to 100 people when I'm live. So this is a very hot topic. We're going to keep it going. I'll bring you more tips. We'll bring other people down on this. This is important, super important. And shit's only going to get worse. So let's recap real quick before I let you go. And again, I want to thank you. I want to invite you to livefreenow.show, livefreenow.show. Please subscribe to the podcast. On that website, you'll find links. It's also down in the show notes in the description on the YouTube video. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff. You can go to livefreenow.show and follow me on Podbean. So here's the recap. We find ourselves in September 2020. In a big old pile of shit. Not just one pile of shit. Multiple piles of shit. In fact, we're practically surrounded by shit. But to get spiritual with you, it's that shit and that manure that allows beautiful flowers to spring up. So as I started on a positive note, We find ourselves in very tumultuous times, but these are times of transformation. And Lord knows there are some very powerful people that want to transform our reality into a technocratic top-down dictatorship on a global level. But guess what? They utilize lies and deceit and problem, reaction, solution, and force and coercion in order to achieve their goals. So there does exist this group of people, and man, they are advanced in their agenda. But there also exists the beautiful people that are listening to this transmission live or on the podcast. And we have a different vision of what that transformation could look like. And it isn't a top-down hierarchy, control, despotism, tyranny. It is a beautiful thing with free people living together harmoniously with peer-to-peer organizations supporting one another through mutual aid, mutual benefit, mutual defense. We have that opportunity to create that reality, but I need you to survive through the coming shitstorm so we could do it on the other side, right? It was the book of Isaiah. Was it Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in the Bible that talked about the remnant, right? And that's when the apocalypse happens. Everyone's wiped out, and there's a small group of people that rebuild the pieces of society. And I want you to be that group of people with me and with the Freedom Cell community and with all the free thinkers and the change makers and the radical innovators out there. That's going to be us, but we need to survive through it. So what situation we find ourselves in? We have COVID-19, pandemic, plandemic, scamdemic. People are anxious, not visiting family. Their grandparent or their parent passed away and they weren't able to be there by their side holding their hand when they passed. They weren't able to have a funeral. They weren't able to see their child get married. The child had to get married on some Zoom call. They haven't been out in the dating pool. They haven't been getting laid. They're feeling anxious. They got laid off, not getting laid, got laid off instead. That's bad. The government's clamping down, crushing, squeezing. And we're seeing an equal and opposite reaction of people rising up and resisting, pushing back and fighting. There's tasers going on. There's armed militias storming the Capitol buildings. It's all happening right now. We have the perfect storm for a financial crisis, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Great Depression. And we did have unemployment, the likes of which we hadn't seen since the Great Depression. You have Trump unconstitutionally pushing some executive order prohibiting, it was the CDC prohibiting evictions. Pretty soon when that dries up, when that ends, there's going to be a whole lot of evictions. There's going to be a whole lot of commercial real estate and residential real estate that is going to somehow get wiped off the books. It's either going to be more funny money or some banks are going to fail. It's probably going to be more funny money. It's just going to be kicking the can, the inevitable can down of the financial collapse. I used to tell my dad back in 2006, Dad, you got to invest in silver. You got to invest in gold. You got to pull your money out of stocks. The economy's going to collapse. The economy's going to collapse. The economy's going to collapse. And he would say to me, you know, John, I could go up in the attic right now and get a book written in 1978 called How to Profit from the Upcoming Financial Collapse. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm exaggerating. But then I realized after learning more about Austrian economics, it's the same damn collapse. It's just been exacerbated and just reinflated. It's all artificial funny money. That's going to come to a head. We have all that taking place. Simultaneously, we have BLM, Marxism, communism, anarchism, Antifa, protest, righteous indignation, anger, freaking out in the streets, and riots. The freaks come out at night. Shit gets really nasty. Entire cities are getting burnt down. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but entire city blocks are getting burnt down. Minneapolis is screwed. Insurance companies aren't paying out on the policies anymore because there's no hope of recovery. Detroit was already decimated from the 2007-2008 housing crisis. LA is going down the shithole. New York City is going down the shithole. Chicago is like a freaking gangland movie in its reality. This is all happening, rioting. Simultaneously, we have the extreme polarization. It's not just left versus right. The Democrats and Republicans yelling at each other, and Democrat Republican voters are very ticked off at one another, but they still will shake hands at the family dinner. No, it's people that are disowning their children or their parents because they support Donald Trump. Not only is it that, but it's also hardcore right extremist militia, white nationalists, white separatists, Boogaloo movement, MAGA country that's all fucking bought into Donald Trump. They literally think he is the second coming of Christ. And these people are willing to throw down, and this group of people has thrown down. Again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that all these groups are white nationalists and they're all blah, blah, blah. These are just what I call the right wing fringe extreme that has grown and inflated itself. Started popping off in the 90s. Under Bill Clinton, a lot of people were aware of globalism, the New World Order, and then the freaking Oklahoma City bombing took place. Before that, Ruby Ridge, then the Oklahoma City bombing, then the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the militias got broken up, then George Bush took office, and now we have a right wing in office that kind of pulled back a little bit, but then 9/11 happened, everyone knew that was going on, then Obama took office, the right wing militia movement, the extremists grew. We don't want Barack Hussein Obama. He's a Muslim. He's not a U.S. citizen. That grew, right? And then Donald Trump took office, kind of an outgrowth of that, and the whole InfoWars Alex Jones thing. Alex Jones had a significant role in putting Donald Trump in office. And now that entire movement has come out of the woodwork, and they're loud and proud, and they have the freaking president is part of the crew, essentially. Now we have that same reaction. The leftists went to sleep during Obama. Now we have Trump, who's hardcore right and has some very nationalistic tendencies and some semblances of fascism. And the left radicals are all fired up. You got George Soros pumping money in. You got communism. You got Marxism. You got the BLM movement that's just all set up perfect. You got Antifa being designated as a terror organization. You have cities that are completely falling to this control of these rioters. Police are standing down. The Democrat city government isn't doing anything. That's all happening right now. And what do we have coming up in a month or two? Just a month? Like a month and a week? Month and 2 weeks? We have one of the most contentious elections ever. I started paying attention to politics a little bit back in 2000. Anybody remember the hanging Chad? The presidential election between Al Gore, globalist, George Bush, globalist, the same Clinton Bush crime family that's just been running the country for the past 20 years. That was heated. That was contentious. But it was nothing like we're experiencing today. Donald Trump has indicated that he may not be down for a peaceful transition of power. He never actually even said that. In fact, that's just what the media is running with. He didn't say, I'm not down for a peaceful transition of power. He's very clever with his words, however. We're set up for a situation where if Donald Trump loses, he may not vacate the presidency and may maintain control of the military. He's got some generals on his side. The military loves Donald Trump. If that were to happen, these left extremists that are already ready to fucking rock and roll, they're going to freak out and they're going to exacerbate their problem, their destruction. If Biden wins and takes power, this whole right-wing MAGA, militia, boogaloo, this whole thing's going to freak out just the same. So we're basically damned if we do, damned if we don't. We're caught between a rock and a hard place, and it's going to be really bad. It's going to be really bad. It's right around the corner. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to watch? Are we going to freak out? Are we going to do nothing? No, we need to be proactive. If you haven't been prepping now, the time is to prep now. As we said already, just like with planting a tree, best time to do it was 20 years ago. The next best time is right now. So let's just run through the preps real quick. Before we finish, we talked about squatting up, meeting your neighbors if you live in the suburbs, joining the Freedom Cell community, freedomcells.org, freedomcells.org, freedomcells.org. Join over 4,000 like-minded people that think very similarly to you, that know it's a big fucking scam and there's a conspiracy going on right now, and they're solutions-oriented, wanting to squat up and do something about it. Join the Freedom Cell Network, meet your neighbors, link up with your family. Family's ready to listen. It's not a conspiracy. There's rioting going on. Trump may not leave office if he loses. The whole election could be a fraud. It's all, the stage has been set. If you can, get out of the city. Cities are powder kegs. Cities are unnatural human institutions. That's where all the drama goes down. That's where the rioting's taking place. That's where authoritarian police exist. That's where they have their tanks. That's where they've been funded by the military and DHS for years, the drug war. It's not good. You're going to want to be financially successful. Get a side hustle. Provide value for your employer. Ask for a raise. I know it seems out of the ordinary. Provide so much value. Bring in so much new revenue that they have no choice but to support you and give you a raise. Set up the side hustle. Sell shit online. Sell whatever, survival gear, whatever there's a market for. Go do Uber Eats. Get yourself some extra money so you have more choices and more freedom. Money doesn't bring you happiness, but it makes it easier to pursue happiness. Food production is absolutely critical. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We're not going to do anything if we're starving. Grow your food. Get your container garden if you're in an apartment. Get food storage, buy long-term food storage. Make sure it's a company that can actually fulfill on the orders because they're back-ordered like a mofo. When you go to the grocery store, spend an extra 20 to 25% on non-perishable foods. If you don't have an extra $250, $500 to just buy it all up and get stocked up, then every time you go, spend a little bit more money, buy a little bit more canned food, a little bit more non-perishable food. Before you know it, you'll have a nice stash. Grow the garden, bulk food storage. Don't forget about the medical needs. Don't forget about the toilet paper. We got Kratom here. It's great for pain, super affordable, good for a bug out bag. If you take opioids, if you take pharmaceuticals, make sure that you start stocking up now. Talk to your doctor, talk to your pharmacist. It's going to be important that if shit hits the fan, things are chaotic and you got to bug out, you do not want to have to experience withdrawals or experience life without the pharmaceuticals you've been dependent on for the past 5 to 10 years or longer. High blood pressure, anxiety medicine, whatever. Ideally, you get off that stuff, get yourself in a natural place so you can weather the storm without that. But if you are still using those, you're going to want to have them if shit hits the fan. No matter what, colloidal silver, chlorine dioxide, MMS is a great thing to have. Bandages, iodine, get yourself a bug out bag, get yourself a bug out plan, work with your squad, work with yourself. If you need to get out of the city, if the tyrannical thing's coming down, if people are getting rounded up, whatever, if the riots are coming down the street, the marauding gang is roving through, going house to house, raping and pillaging, you're going to want to get the hell out of the city. You're going to want to have a bug out plan predetermined. If you don't own firearms, get yourself some guns. If you do own firearms, buy more ammunition. Super expensive right now. Should have been buying it all along. Now it's 80 cents, a dollar a round. Doesn't fucking matter. It's only going to get more expensive. It's only going to be more scarce. Buy ammunition. Buy a firearm. Don't just own it and think you're going to be able to use it. Just like having the survival seed bank, you think you're going to be able to turn the seed into food. It's a lot harder than it is than you think, especially if you have a weird climate to grow from seed to plant just the same. It's a lot harder than you may think to pull the trigger and defend yourself when shit's really going on and there's someone breaking into your house or whatever the fuck, or you got to squat up and fight off the gang. Learn how to use the firearm safely and proficiently to defend yourself, your family, and your community. Link up with your gun buddy. Link up with your guy that's former military. Link up with a former law enforcement. Take a class here. Take a class there. Whatever. All right. I think I've made a pretty good case that shit's getting really real, really fast. And I hope that I have provided some insight, some tips, some strategy, some wisdom, some guidance that perhaps you hadn't considered. And again, it's not just a YouTube video to watch and then, hey, honey, I saw that guy, John Bush, sound like a really lively conversation. No, it's time to act, right? So join us in the Freedom Cell Network. Take some notes. Don't just take my, like, I'm not the expert on survival. I've just been in this game for quite some time, right? I'm not fully prepped. All the stuff that I talked about today, I'm not nearly close to all that stuff. As I said before, this is the survive. This is the bug out. This is the guy that has the reinforced pickup truck. He's got ammo that could squad an entire platoon. He's got his buddies ready to meet him at the squad bug out plan that has the backup battery supply, the diesel generator. It's, you're not, may not be able to get here, but here you are with like, 2 tomato plants in the backyard, a 22 pistol with just a small box of ammo. And you're like, oh shit, shit just got real. The idea is to inch yourself closer to the total squad up, to the guys that you see on the reality show, which we're watching, by the way. What's it called? The Preps. We rate your preps. Just get closer to this, okay? And we're all here. Let's talk in the comments. Let's support one another. Join the Freedom Cell Network. You don't need to, not everyone has access to this, that, and the other, but you do have access to people and human relationships. And at the end of the day, that's one of the most important things that we can have in this times of crisis. Woo! All righty. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This has been John Bush on the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. You can find us at livefreenow.show, where I invite you to subscribe to the podcast, where we're bringing you some pretty important information. All right, we're going to end this 1 hour and 43 transmission. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're watching live or if you're tuning in the podcast.